This is Harley Hall. Today is April 1st, 2017, and I am conducting an oral history with
Bobby Blia too.
For Straight Out of Fresno, a project of Fresno State's Valley Public History Initiative. So we like to start with your date of birth, so year and...
Right, December of 1976.
So, and then kind of keep it general, you know, what was your childhood like in Fresno?
Actually, I have a lot of family that was in Fresno. I actually grew up in Bakersfield, actually. And I grew up in Bakersfield until I moved here when I was 15 years old. And then I came over here to McLean High School. But between all that time, I was always coming up here. To visit the family, or a family would come down there and stuff like that. There was a population of 4 Hmong people in Bakersfield. That was me, my mom, my dad, and my sister. And so it's a world of difference growing up in Bakersfield and then coming to live here and grow up in Fresno. It's a world of difference. And especially at that time when I came here, it was different. I think, you know, at that time there was a lot of racial tension, actually. You know what I mean? That was like, you know, Tupac and gangster rap and everything was out. That was, you know, Rodney King. I remember at that time was coming up, you know, everyone was going to loot at the mall, you know, after all the decision was made. So it was really, really different then than it is now. I actually have a son now that's 2 sons, and one is... now a grown adult, and the other one's 12, and life in school is so much different for them. And you know, me and all my friends always talk about it, how they don't have to put up with the gangsters, they don't have to put up with guns as much, and shootings, and you know, friends dying every other weekend. It is way different now. And yeah.
Where are your parents from?
From Laos. We're the Hmong. They came here. In fact, my father came here like in 74, 75, went back and got him, and then my mom actually got here in 76, and then I was born. I actually don't know, and I actually don't speak Hmong. That's a crazy thing, is that I don't know one older person than me that was born here that doesn't speak Hmong. I actually don't know anyone that's older than me that doesn't speak Hmong. And so it's one of the things I'm very, very embarrassed about. It is. My father, when we came here, I found out when my grandmother passed away, she said that she wished she could have spoke to me in Hmong. My father actually had it ingrained in him that if I'm going to be successful here, I have to understand English and speak English very well, that he did not allow anyone to speak to me in Hmong. And so I never got it. And every day, because I work with the Hmong people, I'm faced with saying, I'm sorry, I don't understand Hmong. And it's different, yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, it is. I mean, again, you know.
Just different experience.
Yeah, no, even all my friends in high school and my friends now, you know, when I was there, I'm always the guy who doesn't speak Hmong. I'm the white boy. They call me.
I know that's the experience of a lot of immigrant groups, so I think my friend tells me the same about her Italian dad. Like, he didn't get to learn Italian, so she didn't get to learn, like, that culture either. Mm-hmm. So it's tough, especially when you don't fit in now to the group and they call you the white boy.
Yeah, I am the white boy. That's what they say. I understand. I get it, though.
And so why Bakersfield? Do you know why?
Oh, for my father actually got a job there. In Bakersfield. We were actually, you know, in Portland before that.
Okay.
And he moved us down to Bakersfield when I was like 4 years old. It was for a job. And he kind of moved up there. And we did that, and he owned businesses and so forth. Mm-hmm. And when my parents actually got divorced, and that's when I came to Fresno at that time. And I came here to live with my father.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's when I moved here.
When you moved to Fresno, you said it was different What did that feel like when you came from Bakersfield the first time?
I had a lot of friends already, mm-hmm. and so going here, when I moved here, is when I really got serious about dancing. My parents, you know, they were divorced. I was kind of on my own at that particular point, and I moved here mm-hmm. To be with my father, but my father was always busy. And so I have cousins here and my friends here, and I had a different type of support group. But at that particular time here, I fit in better. And I mean, that's when we really started breakdancing, because we started dancing a little bit when I was in Bakersfield, coming up here visiting all the time. There wasn't much of that in Bakersfield at the time. And then, but coming here, I mean, we really, really got a crew together and just kind of blew that up from there. And I think, you know, that's the two things for me that were my big parts in high school in that transition, you know, like identifying with something, was breakdancing and theater, right? I mean, I was always in theater. If I wasn't in theater, I was always breakdancing. And that's the way it was at the last part of high school. It was, you know, performing was it, you know. And I got a great group of brothers that still my brothers today. You know, one is here. I wanted, you know, the two more to get over here, but we'll see if they can make it out here today.
Cool.
Yeah. Right. Yep. That's interesting. The crew's called Bums.
Yeah?
Yeah. So.
When did you start?
Oh, man, I think that was end of 92 is actually when we started. It was that first semester, that 1992. And at that time, we had called, you know, dancing housing, right? There's a lot of housing and house dance and techno and all these other stuff. And then what happened was one of the guys in the crew, he would always tell the girls, yeah, you know, our style is bum style. And they go, what's that mean? What kind of style is that? He goes, it's busting unique moves style. So it wasn't a lot of battling or anything going on at that time. And so one day we just go in and say, you know what? Let's name ourselves something, you know, let's get a name so we can, you know, start representing that name and everything. And I just said, hey, guys, you know what? There really is no busting unique moves style. Why don't we just call ourselves Bums? And it stands for busting unique moves. And then that kind of took off from right there, you know, and we kept it small, you know, with a small core group. And one of the rules that I had and that we had was, hey, no matter what, we're not going to become a gang. We don't represent it like a gang. We battle, we dance, you know, we do things like that, but we don't ever represent it like a gang, you know. And we don't get big. We don't let, you know, people go represent Bums like a gang or anything like that, because there were already enough, you know, gangs out there. And we had a lot of friends in different gangs and stuff like that. But and they knew us, and by the way we dressed and by, you know, what we did, we you know, was that one thing, is not to be a gangster. You know what I mean? And,
So was there a kind of tension between people who were dancing and people who were gangsters, you know, or was there, could you be both? Like,
well, I mean, yeah, I mean, there are people who were both, but the funny story is that when, we had Bums after that in Santa Ana too, in Orange County, right? So there's a Hmong group down there and we're all families, but two of the brothers, Wayno and Flago, they came over from OC here, and then when they came to Fresno, and then I kind of moved up here too, and when we started creating this group, they were used to the term battle, we were used to the term battle, but Fresno really wasn't here.
Yeah.
And so when it was one time when the story goes is that we asked to battle someone, you know, this group, because we thought they were dancers. They went, what the hell? They want to battle. What the hell is battle? They want to fight? We're going to fight then. Let's fight. And it turned into this big old thing that they're going to fight.
Oh,
like what?
It's
like, no, battle, like dance. Like, we don't dance. We thought you want to fight us? We don't even know you. And it was so funny.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And then, you know, but after that, you know, things started changing. And then, because once we started, you know, showing our moves, going out to different things, and then sometimes, you know, one-off would show up. And it wasn't a crew. It was like, hey, I'll battle you, you battle me. It was one-on-one stuff. And I remember going to school. I mean, it was like every week someone would show up to school to battle me. And we did that. And then crew started going up. And then we all just, all hung out. And what was really good about it, too, no one ever fought. You know, it was all just dancing. And it was really cool.
It was a new way to settle your beef.
Well, yeah, there really was no beef, though. It was just really dancing. And then, you know, we represented everything. And, you know, the Smurfs, who was kind of featured in this as well. You know, those are our younger brothers, that wanted to come up and do things. And so we were teaching them and showing them the stuff and showing them the ropes. And it was really cool. We had that kind of this tight-knit community with all of us, you know, and not letting everybody in, but going out and representing. And, you know, it wasn't until I already started going to college here at Fresno State that I kind of backed off. I went to go rush Lambda Chi Alpha. I was doing theater and all this stuff. I couldn't show up no more to do the dancing with everybody. And the Smurfs kind of went out and they represented the bums when they went out town, like to L.A. or to wherever it is. And so it's almost, you know, I always tell them it's one and the same. Bum Smurfs are all the same, you know. It's really neat.
And you practice at school a lot, or where did you guys meet up?
Oh, man, we practiced all the time. I was really serious about it. So we would do, we did talent shows. I mean, so within a year of doing this stuff, you know, practicing and doing all these things, we got asked to perform. We went up to Sacramento to perform for high schools. We performed for UC Santa Cruz. You know, people had asked us to go perform at University of Minnesota and stuff, but we didn't have money to go up there, and our parents wouldn't let us go, right? We're still in high school. But we started going around and just dancing and representing. We would dance at the Hmong New Year. We would do performances. One of our buddies would rap while we would perform and stuff. And so, and you know, it came from doing theater and all that stuff. So we were always practicing at someone's house, you know, had either the cardboard or the linoleum. Always in the car, and just practicing and trying to come up and invent different moves. See, in my day, in that time, we didn't have a lot of power moves. We didn't have a lot of different things. Didn't have a lot of different styles. So we were able to just make up stuff and do things and kind of go with it. And so we were just trying to do anything that was, you know, mind-blowing and stuff. And it's funny because if you would have told me today what they're doing today was possible back then, I would say, there's no way. No, you can't do that. But man, I mean, the dancing has taken off big time.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, we always watch every year the Red Bull, you know, the battles and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we get together and watch that and stuff. I mean, yeah. But yeah, breakdancing was a huge part of it. You know, sometimes I laugh about it because it's like, you know, Married with Children. Yeah, have you ever seen Married with Children?
Yes.
You know, the stereotype that, you know, the football guy, high school football guy is always living out through his,
yeah.
You know, yeah. So that's what we do. We live through, yeah, we were the best breakers,
yeah.
And all that stuff. And it's funny. And then, yeah. But that's why this thing was, you know, it brings a little bit of, you know, past euphoria into me. It's like, wow, I can't, you know, of all the things that I would have thought of that could be documented in history, to be talked about in something like this.
Yeah.
Was my days of breakdancing in high school, you know? That's different. But what's neat is that what it actually started and what folks did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard that we have a professional b-boy villain. They're up, him and his brother are in Sacramento, right? And he attributed, he was like, I think maybe 11 years old or 9 years old when we were doing it. And he attributed it to the bums, too. When I first heard that, I was like,
that's
so interesting. You know, it's something that you could do and take seriously and show people, and it could take off and do something like that. I think it's neat.
Yeah, for sure. How did your parents feel about it when you were younger?
Well, that's the thing. My father was always busy. He was doing, like, the politics stuff, so they didn't even know I was breakdancing, really.
Yeah.
It didn't, you know, it wasn't anything they, you know, they didn't see. I think a lot of times Southeast Asian parents don't know what, Asian parents in general don't know what their kids do in extracurricular activities. Not until we've assimilated and stuff, because I know what my kids do. I'm with them all the time. I take them places. But I think for my generation, it's, you know, go to school, do your thing, or whatever you have to do, because they didn't understand. You know, my parents are educated, and my parents was always about business.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell into business. I love them to death, and we do this. But, you know, back then, I was on my own in those instances.
Yeah.
At that particular time, it was a hard time. So, you know, our parents just got divorced. There was, you know, at that time was kind of the downfall of everything. And so, as I said, breakdancing was it. And that's the group that I still have today. Mm-hmm. You know, those same guys, those same bums are the same people I'm with today. Those were lifelong friends that are brothers. They're here today. We, you know, we're still doing stuff for each other. You know, those are my core friends.
It's important to have that.
Yeah.
And so was there kind of backlash in the community at all? Versus like traditional versus like, did they see dancing as a form of assimilation, or did they see it as something you guys were doing uniquely to yourselves?
No, they didn't care. I'll be honest. Like, so one of the friends, one of the guys, the parents, they were all really, they were supportive, the parents over there, for what we did because we were featured. I mean, so we did a talent show at McLean. We got, I think we got second place, and I was in another dance with one of the Breakers' sister. We did a dance too, hip hop dance, and we got first place in the talent show. The fact that we were performing at New Year's, the fact that we got paid to perform and stuff, they were supportive of it. They didn't get it, but they were supportive of it because we weren't, you know, being gangsters and stuff, you know. And I think that was the key thing is that we had the ability to express that, though, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of, yeah, and I mean, and that was the key thing. What we faced with maybe at school, you know, at that particular time, because I said racial tension is high, and you know, some of the guys are from Clovis, you know, going to Sierra Vista Mall, meeting people, trying to dance. We would dance at Fashion Fair. There was actually a store, I forget what it was called, Merry-Go-Round or something, inside Fashion Fair, and they would allow us to dance in there. So they would play the music and everything, and we would get in there. We would have battles in there, and we would dance in there. That was really cool. And then sometimes we try to hang at Service the Mall. We would get kicked out. I mean, it really was. At that particular time, you come in with baggy pants. You have these clothes. We're not gangsters, but we would get kicked out the moment we got in there. Yeah, yeah. They'd just kick us out. It was different. But, yeah, I mean, I'd have to say it's different for us because it was different for – it was – we were one of the first crews. I don't want to say like first crews ever, but at this particular time, there weren't that many crews. There was a crew called Zumi's Dimension, which was a, you know, he went to McLean as well with me, and they started their crew. And that was one that we would battle a lot. You know, there wasn't too many. And then, you know, there's other crews from out of town that would come in, you know. And so it was kind of, everyone understood the distinction and the difference that we weren't gangsters. So the support structure there was okay. As far as the community goes, they never paid attention. They never cared, you know. But we all knew that we don't be gangsters. We don't want to get locked up. Let's do the right thing, you know. So go to school and all that stuff.
And McLean High School was pretty, they were on it. Like, they let you do that at the talent show. We were cool with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I did theater, so, you know, in fact, so my senior year, I mean, it was all break. I mean, I performed all the time. We always danced and battled in the quad. You know, we would practice dancing, and sometimes they'd do it. And then, I mean, they would be afraid at first, you know, from the battles, and there would be tension. But, look, teachers loved it after a while. You know, thought it was really cool. It was when people from, not from the school, that would try to come and sneak in to do the battles, or you know, meet after school and do the battles, and all of a sudden, all these people are gathered around, right? So, that's no. I mean, I may have a biased view or skewed view, but I really think there was a lot of support for this new thing. It was an extracurricular activity that everyone liked.
Yeah,
you know,
that's good.
But I see. Okay, so. When I saw the ad for this, right, the event calendar for this one, I really wanted to come because I still know that the kind of questions, you know, that we're talking about, the things of support from family, from all those things, I still know. I had a different experience, but it's still frowned upon, mm-hmm. right? You can call it typical Asian thing anyways, you know, and at this point it's go to work, go to school, you know, theater, whatever. Dance, whatever, you know, they don't see any value in it. And the thing is that when we break dance, when we do this as a crew, I mean, we really take it seriously. We we try our hardest because it feels good. And so what I wanted to tell everybody, what I think a message out there is that you can harness that in school. That same passion, you can take it, you can get an education in it. Okay? So like today, I'm a CEO of one clinic, founder, chief information financial officer of another organization. Okay, so it's at a point where we're running $24 million budgets. And I can still, I had this, everyone looks at me like, okay, that's a straight and narrow person, doesn't do anything. And then so we have our Christmas parties, we have it. If I need to get everyone together, we have a lot of new employees or whatever it may be, because up there you have like 300, I jump out and do the windmill.
Yeah.
And they go, what? Like, oh my God, what'd you do? You could do that? Because they don't see that in us. And it's like, it feels good to be able to do all that stuff. And so it's like, folks, you don't have to give up your passion to do education. Mm. You can still do all of that. In fact, I believe that if you're going to go to school, if you're going to be stressed out, if you're going to, and then after school, you're going to work, you really need to have your break time to really, really let go and make up for all the stress. You need that happiness. And I'll tell you, the guy that I came with, we're 40 years old, but we'll still dance every once in a while. We'll still bust every once in a while. We'll still do this stuff. And I know some people will see me. I have friends go, dude, you're a CEO. You're not supposed to be doing this. You got some of your employees here. They're like, oh, yeah. And it is, and the truth is, it is kind of embarrassing because you want them to see you in a different light.
Yeah.
I don't want them to come up to me. Hey, what's up, dude?
Yeah, exactly. You're the boss.
It's weird. It's a different line. But, truth be told is you got to have your fun. And you can't deny your passion, but you also can't deny life as well. You can't deny your responsibility. And that's one of the big things. You don't have to argue with your parents so much that you sabotage your livelihood to prove to them you can do all this dancing, There's ways to benefit from it. And, everyone that was in our crew, they're all in the bums. They're we're all career-minded professionals and do stuff and still live like Al Bundy looking back on the high school days. It's quite funny.
Do you feel like your crew kind of felt like that too, that you were doing something that you guys were passionate about and creating something? Was it always about that?
Was it always about that?
Yeah.
No, we can't lie. It isn't always just about that, all right?
Yeah.
I mean, we it was fun. We always wanted to be the best. You always wanted to represent. And having all the girls like you, that's like... So that is also part of it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all of that. Everything in the group, everything that's involved with that kind of stardom, which, it is localized to Fresno,
yeah.
Except when we go out of town and stuff like that. But all of it felt good,
yeah.
and with the group, it felt good. And it felt good, too, to know that we were doing something and we had something. And everyone always say, Bobby, my name was Stroll. That's what they called me. And, that's just, I was the one that's always, saying, hey, we got to dance, we got to practice, let's not do that, let's not fight, just leave it alone, just to get us all calm, and away from situations that could be, super dangerous. It's not to say that we didn't get in trouble, but in those days, the little trouble that we may have gotten into, the little things that we did was nothing compared to what it could have been. We always made sure we supported each other, yeah. And I think, the whole group felt that way. We were actually proud of it. And like I said, we are all proud of it. I mean, we still are Facebooks or, every once in a while, we still have busting unique moves around. There'll be a bums something down on a piece of paper somewhere. So, we still wear it proud. We do that, yeah.
You mentioned... racial tension, and I don't know if you want to talk about that, but I just wanted to know what that looked like within your communities.
So racial tension, when it comes from a gangster, it's not so much that when we're around Hmong gangster, they recognize it. I remember one time we went to a fully Hispanic Mexican party. It was lots of bulldogs there. But they knew us. And no one tripped out on us because they knew we were just dancers. And so everyone liked it. But then when we were around other races that were Asian, but other races, there's always tension. That, you know, that's the difference. You know, it's when you were with that group and whether they were, you know, good dancers, but their friends were there, and you know, that competition brings on the gang stuff. And when you start to feel that heat, it's time to go, it's time to cut. Because we even got those things. There'll be times when we're dancing and you know, there are some Hmong friends that are gangsters and be like, hey, you want us to do something? Like, no, leave it alone, you know? But the biggest racial tension really was at that particular time. It was like entering the Clovis. You can't. For us, it was like, hey, don't go over there, you know? Because they see you, they call the cops. You know, we couldn't hang out anywhere. We couldn't do anything. I don't think it has changed much right now either. And I think, you know, it hasn't changed much. I mean, when people are very, very conservative, and you know, you just have to be careful.
They're suspicious about a lot of things.
Right. Well, anytime anyone is different, you're going to be suspicious. And we learned that. I mean, for us, so we were, you know, someone always had a car. We were always driving. If we ever got pulled over, you know, we always took off our hats and put our hands on the roof. So I learned that back then because, you know, we've been hanging out at places where the police, the street force would make us show our shirt, you know, take off our shirts, look for tattoos. I mean, right out on Blackstone Avenue.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at that time it was really that way. I mean, and you would feel mad, but you know what? For us, we just, that's the way it is. You know, I mean, the cops will be right there, and they'll tell you to stop, and they have the little spotlight on you, and turn around, do that, take off your shirt, pull your pants down, all this stuff, and right next to you is someone the same age, but he's white, you know, he's smoking a cigarette.
Getting left alone.
They leave him alone, so he's not suspicious at all, you know. But you know what? Hey, we wore baggy clothes. We did that. We just understood that. Hey, look, that's the way it is, you know. Growing up outside of that and everything, you start to realize how it's different. You know, back then I wouldn't have called it racial tension. You know, back then it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Knowing, you know, in hindsight, there was, you know, it was based on race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, where did you, did you have videotapes or did you have people who knew who danced? Like, how did you get into it?
Oh, no. There's, at that time, we were doing our very best to, you know, invent anything. The only one, so he would be the most famous, was Soul Train. There was one breaker on Soul Train, mm-hmm. Caesar. So we would, you know, watch it just so we could see what he's going to bust next, what he's going to do. And it was really cool is that eventually, and so Boone, Dogs, he might be here, one of the Smurfs, went and represented Bums down there. This is when I already came to school here. And, and he really, really beat Caesar in a battle. So, the Bums made it, you know, there. So, but, yeah, there wasn't many videos at all. It's not like we could carry around a camera or had our cell phones with anything,
yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? There's nothing, there's no movies on it. You know, you had your 80s electric boogaloo and, you know, Beach Street, that's all there was. There wasn't anything else to kind of copy from, you know. For dance moves that were not really breakdancing, but like housing, I remember we had this one video from Brooklyn. So, you know, it was Brooklyn-style housing and stuff, and we kept watching it, getting ideas for different things that we could represent that because people out here really weren't housing it. And so we were able to come up with different moves and different things like that. But, yeah, no, videos and studying anything, no, we were making stuff up. We had to. We didn't have anyone to look at, you know, to do something. It was just, try this, try that, you know. Let's do this. I mean, one time I did in a battle, I somersaulted over this kid, and I came back to do a headspin, and I slid on my head. I didn't get to the headspin. I messed up, but I slid on my head with my beanie. And then I said, I took that, and I said, you know what, guys? I'm just going to do it, because I was one of those guys that just said, just do it. I still do it today. If I want to do something, I just do it, right? You got to jump. So I said, you know what? I'm going to run, And I said, I'm going to call the bobsled. I'm like, it was dumb. But then in our show, I literally, to start off, I remember in one of the talent shows, I would run and then jump in the air. So when I come on stage, I'm in the air and land on my head and slide all the way across stage. Right? And I'd never seen it. Didn't know. And I may not, I'm probably not the first person to do it, but yeah. I've never seen it. And it was crazy, you know, to do that. And I see now I see it all the time, though. Mm-hmm. You know, and, but yeah, no, copying other people, we didn't get it.
It was just innovating with your friends.
It was just going, yeah. I mean, you had your basics from, you know, your flares, your swipes from, you know, the 80s, and then just changing it up, mm-hmm. you know, and see who could do it higher, who could do it longer, you know, do things and, you know, saying battles. And people would lie, like, okay, we're going to battle some crew. And they're, oh, man, they could do this and do that. I mean, the first time I got to do, like, infinite flares and stuff, I was sitting there, we were going to battle, and this girl calls, oh, yeah, they do this thing called the flare. Like, they can do, like, 30. And me and my boys, what? Really? But at that time, I said, you know what? Screw it. Let's do it. And they go, what, Bob? You going to do it? I go, yeah, I'm going to do it forever, right now. I'll do it. I'm going to cheat. I put my foot on the floor. I did this thing to cheat. But at that moment when I just did it, I rose off the ground. And then I was going forever. I was like, hey! So when we went to battle, I was like, hey, I got it. I'm not scared of anything. So it was, I don't know, we just did stuff just for the love of it. It was fun to hang out, you know, and yeah.
Did you primarily dance with, like when you were battling, was it primarily other Hmong crews or were there other groups?
Yeah, no, there were other groups, actually. Other groups of different races. At that time, it was really only the Bums and Smurfs for the Hmong crew. There wasn't anybody else. So it was battling, like, other races, either Filipinos, you know, everything. From out of town, we would go down to Tulare, go over to, you know, Lemoore. People would come up from Delano or Baker. So, I mean, it was just, that's the, here, when we started, we were the only, as far as I, at that time, it was just the Bums. And then we had the Smurfs, because I said I didn't want, you know, we didn't want to get too big or anything, and there was already a Smurfs, and these guys were already Smurfs, and they started breakdancing. So we kind of just, hey, you know, you're the mm-hmm. little brothers, you know, we'll represent each other and do that. Yeah. And so, yeah, we didn't really battle in the beginning at that time. Then, I think there were other crews that started coming out. And, you know, so there are a lot of Hmong crews, and even today there's a lot of Hmong crews. In fact, what's funny is that one day I was, well, I don't know, 5 years ago or something, looking on YouTube to look up Bums to see if any of the boys put anything up. There's actually a Bum crew in Minnesota. One of our guys from OC went up there and let and told his nephew just become the Bums. And so they actually have a big crew up in Minnesota now. And so it's weird to say, yeah, that's OG, that's Stroll. It's kind of weird, you know, these little kids saying that. So
do any of your siblings dance too?
I only got a sister.
Okay.
That's not fair. I have a sister that's from my parents, and then I have a half sister from when my dad got remarried, and then a half brother and sister when my mom got remarried again. But no, none of them dance. No one. No.
Did you know any girls that did it?
Yeah, actually, yeah. At that time, there were girls that would come in because we didn't have any girls in the group, but we had girls that backed us up.
Yeah.
You know, so we had some that we practiced with and all that stuff. And then, you know, when we go battle, they're always there to watch, and then they would jump in. Yeah. No, we there were girls that did it. There's girls that do it now. And there's some really, really, really good ones now. That's amazing. These little kids that do it.
Yeah.
I call it a sport now, but it's just this type of breakdancing is completely taken off. Hip hop is continually, you know, evolving. I love dance in all forms, ballet. You know, I don't do it myself, but I love it and I appreciate all forms of dance. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm watching a lot of these things get intertwined and come together, and it's really, really nice. Music is a different story. I'm not into the new versions of mumble rap and all this stuff that's happening. But hey, you know, some of them got good beats and everything, but I'm hoping it changes back. But no, I've loved hip hop. I mean, ever since I the Running Man, MC Hammer, and all that stuff. I always had to learn how to do those moves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, trying to do things at that moment of the year, we'd do dance competitions. I was always a little kid that could do stuff, but I, you know, so. And then we got to breakdancing. That was a different story. That really changed things.
What kind of music did you guys find yourselves dancing to the most? Like any artists or?
Oh, you know, it's funny. I don't even know the dang names of the people, but it's you know, it's like freestyle music. You know, it's that. Oh, I don't even know the names anymore. But when the songs come on, it's, you know, B Street songs and stuff like that. You know, I loved it. Today, I still like dance. I like the house beats and stuff like that. And we can still dance in the house beats. But yeah, I mean, we didn't dance the way they dance now. But I think I could dance to anything. It didn't matter. Yeah. We weren't dancing a country or anything like that.
But, funny.
Yeah, I mean, there's beats there and stuff. We would dance. I mean, I wish we had the speakers we have now, you know, little Dre beats and all that stuff. If we could have carried those around, that would have been amazing.
Yeah,
you know,
it would have made your life so much so much easier.
Yeah, you take something out, you got to have all the batteries or you got to, you know, find a plug.
Yep.
It was difficult.
And so tell me about, like, the Modern New Year, because I'm kind of, I have no idea what goes on with that. Like,
Oh, okay.
How did they get into having you guys dance out there?
Oh, so every year there's in here in Fresno we have the Hmong New Year, right? Yeah. So there's a part where everyone goes to the fairgrounds or to wherever the daytime goes. But every night there's a party. Mm-hmm. There are tons of parties. So we would get invited to perform at these parties. And so we would perform at the parties during the Hmong New Year. So, you know, while everyone takes a break from dancing, it would be like the Rainbow Ballroom. And then we would do a performance and stuff like that. So that, I mean, that's how that got started. And I have no idea how we ended up like dancing at the high schools and at UC Santa Cruz was really cool. You know, when we would go perform over there too for a group out there. You know, getting paid was kind of really cool.
Yeah.
So you're paying us to do this? This is amazing.
Getting paid to do what you think what you love.
Yeah, but I mean, and not even knowing that there was no professional breakdancing. You know, there was no, I don't even know if there was professional hip hop back then yet. You know,
it was all underground, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, yeah. So. Yeah, so that, yeah. So New Year's, we did stuff there. And that would be, you know, during the New Year time, during Christmas. So. Actually, you know, I think it's Professor Guzman,
mm-hmm.
On Facebook, he asked for pictures and all that stuff. I actually have some, like, graffiti stuff. Not graffiti, but, you know, pictures that we drew up for bums.
Mm-hmm.
We had an artist in the group, and he just posted stuff up. And someone says, I still got a video from one of the performances. I'm like, no, we're not showing that. We're not showing that video. Because when we first started, there weren't really much power moves.
No.
Yeah, and it looks really ridiculous to what's here now, you know, but, you know, that's what it was back then. It was funny. Someone goes, delete it. One of the guys said, delete it. Don't ever post that.
Get rid of it.
Because for some reason, it always looks better in your mind than it does when you look at it.
For sure.
Yeah.
And so do you feel like Fresno, I've been hearing it kind of lately, that people say that Fresno is like a center for some power moves because, you know, you guys were watching stuff. So you guys were able to, we were innovators, so you were creating stuff. Do you feel like that?
It's funny. I couldn't say. I'd have to say that, like, we did a lot of stuff. And we didn't get to see a lot of what's out, you know, out there. Mm-hmm. So there would be competitions and things. And that's where the Smurfs really came into it. And battling a lot of other folks. And so it'd be great to say that Fresno, we did that stuff, you know. And I don't know what was out there. So it's easy for us to say, yeah, we invented those things. We really pushed the limits on doing a lot of these crazy things. Because we would do things that we never seen anybody do. I would watch the Smurfs and these other guys start to do things that no one ever did. Mm-hmm. And the word would spread, but that's pretty much held to the Central Valley,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So yeah, from Fresno spreading it out to the Central Valley? Yeah, I think so. But I mean, there's some great people out in New York,
yeah.
Some great people out in Chicago. So, you can't really say much there.
Do you think the scene has changed now that people can see what's going on in New York and what's going on?
Oh, everything has changed with technology. Yeah. YouTube changed the world right there.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, everything that's happening, all the streaming, the battle of the year that everyone gets to watch, and all the new things that people do in those battles. I mean, these guys are the fact that it can be professional now is amazing. But the fact that it's professional now makes it way more innovative. I mean, these guys are coming up. I mean, every year, it's just some of the moves are just, what? What did you just do?
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. So, yeah, I mean, earlier I said that if you would have told me what they can do today, back when I was a kid doing this, I would have told you that'd be very impossible. So now I tell everybody, it won't be long before they fly. Be doing an air flare and then all of a sudden do like 10 of them and come back down. It's going to happen. Someone's going to feel the momentum that's going to propel them up in the air and just come down. It's just like sometimes I see people like they do a move on accident, but it looks like they fly on accident and you can't redo it. But some of the things these guys come up with are amazing. And it's just, I mean, that's what I love. It's momentum. It's movement. It's all really good stuff. And, what I like the most about it is that now, today, you can actually do something with it, because Villain, him and his brother, they're dancing, they danced for, I think, Taylor Swift, they've, gone on tour, I mean, they're actually making a living. We didn't have that option back then, you're not going to break dance for a living,
yeah.
It didn't happen, I know we had, in Bakersfield, some friends that actually, one of the guys that was dancing with us, I think his name was Diz. He actually ended up going to Las Vegas. This is probably 7 years later. So he kept breakdancing, kept doing it, and he got a job teaching it, and then he got a job over in Vegas dancing, But that wasn't around when we... So, yeah, it breakdancing has taken off, it's amazing. And people actually make a livelihood out of it. I don't, here in Fresno, I don't know too many people. I don't see the scene anymore here in Fresno because, I'm watching stuff that's happening in Korea, watching stuff that's happening in Japan, watching the American team, USA team go at it, the French team. But, Fresno, B-boys here, I don't know how it is anymore. Are you getting that? I mean, are you finding out? I mean, are there?
We had a few younger
crews,
younger b-boys come out on Thursday when we did the preview day.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I didn't really talk to them to see if they had crews going or any of that kind of stuff. It would be interesting to see who comes out today, though. Since
yeah.
any younger people that come out and have the crew going.
Yeah, I mean, I got my kids. So how it translates down to my children. Both my sons can do it too.
Okay.
And it's funny because I have my youngest, he's a 12-year-old, but when he was like 8, he's the shyest kid. He doesn't like to be the center of attention. And when he was in third grade or fourth grade, like 3 weeks down the line of the talent show. He goes, Dad, I want to be in the talent show. I go, what are you going to do in the talent show? He goes, I want to break dance. I want to dance. I was like, we got like 3 weeks. There's no way I can put anything together for you. But
yeah.
He really, really wanted to. And so I put it, I choreographed something for him.
Yeah.
He got it. We made some music, mixed some stuff up for him and put him on the stage. And he was amazing. Both my kids loved to dance. And it was like some of my, I don't want to say proud moments, but like that good feeling moment was that when they let go and you see them, like all their passion, all the love goes into that movement and hit. I like to hit beats really strong when I'm, up. So I like to hit it hard and stuff. And
yeah. And
they do it. And that's why, this crump style of dancing and stuff, I actually really like it. I don't know, none of my friends really do, but I actually really like it. And my boys, they really like it too. And so it's amazing. And when I see them feel the rhythm, feel the beat and hit it so hard, it's like, wow. I love it. I love it. I wish I could just dance and do theater forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. That's what I want to do. I wish I could do that.
And so do you see that in, back when it was really big, was it families dancing together? Was it siblings? Was it uncles? Was it, was everybody kind of related, or was...
I don't know. All Hmong people are related.
That's true. That's true.
We're related somehow, yeah, some way. So, true. You know, I mean, that's... So, but yeah, I mean, absolutely. Brothers and sisters, brothers and brothers, when they're the same age and one break dance, the other one's going to want to. Mm-hmm. And they'll do it, and they'll come out together. You know, as I went to college here, you know, the Smurfs were doing it. You know, when I started seeing the other crews come out, Mystic Motion, you know, these other groups, brothers and sisters, brothers and brothers, you know, brothers were in there, cousins were in there. Yeah, I mean, it made sense too, mm-hmm. You know. Yeah, I mean, it was really good to watch that scene grow. And it's funny because there's still that community. I came here with hopes to see folks. I didn't know who was going to be on the panel. I didn't know any of that stuff. And so me to walk in and see the Smurfs battling the Wizards on the screen, and then I look over left and I see Veal right there. You know, it's like, hey, what's up, man? And you know, it's really cool. I'm hoping to see some other folks out here that are from back in the day.
Is there anything else you wanted to talk about today? Like anything you can think of?
Well, I mean,
ask?
I mean, breakdancing, I'll be honest, I saw that article yesterday, actually, and all the bums actually saw the article yesterday, and everyone was passing back and forth that stuff. And so Handy, who's here, he just read it this morning. He's like, what is this link you guys keep sending? So he just read it this morning when we came over here. He's like, that was really cool. You know, he's like, I can't believe it. And so I'm still in that kind of shock thing, too. I mean, I guess Veal and Boone, they've all kind of known where this stuff goes, that you guys were doing this. So it's just hitting me right now. It's like, to hear that we were able to just play a part of a movement and hear other people respect it that way for what we did just to do. You know, that actually feels good, you know, to know that we, doesn't have to say that we started it, but that we were, you know, part of that thing of bringing this movement here to Fresno. And just, I'll be honest, like I told you earlier, I love hip hop. And just to know that somewhere, someplace, I actually played a role in hip hop evolving or some movement for folks. Mm-hmm. And I think that's amazing. I'm still there,
amazing,
so
yeah.
So you know, put me on. I mean, it's funny because this is something that I told you. This is something that I don't want, like everyone to see in me because of the positions that I have.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't care, right? Because I'm always me. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, to play a part in history, to especially in something I love so much, you know, I think that's amazing. And I thank you guys for this opportunity. You know, no, really, thank you. And yeah, I think this is good stuff. I mean, all the bums right now are just, way, what's going on, dude? They wrote about us. They said those things about us. So, you know, it makes us feel, it kind of vindicates what we did.
Yeah.
And, you know, to not make the wrong choices, too. And to actually do it for the passion. Because in all truth and honesty, we all don't breakdance because we're too old. Because, you know, breakdance would turn to broken bones, but
yeah,
we all still dance, actually. So, that's cool.
Right. Yeah, thank you so much for the story. You know, it's important. We're kind of trying to collect everybody's stance on hip-hop in the community because of what it means to people, especially people who, you know, were immigrants or, you know, like that kind of that feeling that hip-hop gives you. And so that's why it's important to what we're doing. So, thank you so much.
No, thank you. Thank you for recognizing, you know, the Hmong community in hip-hop and not representing as gangsters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's amazing. No, because that's how we were represented.
I know.
It were gangsters. I'll tell you, which has nothing to do with hip-hop, but this is something that it's been like this all our lives and when we talk about racial tension. I got to, you know, I always wanted to fly first class and all the things. So what is like 2 years ago, I flew first class. I sat next to this millionaire. She's from Oklahoma. She does website, internet business, and stuff like that. We talked for about an hour on this flight. We got along really well. And then whatever conversation we were on, I said I was Hmong. She jumped out of her seat into the aisle and screamed and said, Am I going to be okay? And I didn't know, I mean, that when, like, in hindsight, that is so offensive. And I should have been so pissed. But I was so shocked that I laughed at him. No, sit down. You'll be fine. But, you know, it's never happened, but it doesn't surprise me. Because that was just 2 years ago. And then she came here from, Oklahoma. And all she heard was bad stuff about Hmong people. Right? Gangsters, robbers, you know, rapists, home invaders, you know? And we were having business intellectual conversations. And she just immediately, when she heard the word Hmong, you know, reduced me to something so evil that she jumped out of her seat to run away from me.
Yeah.
That's how we're viewed in the rest of the world. And so to have something come out from something that isn't Hmong, right, because there are Hmong papers and Hmong things that bring out the good light of Hmong people. For you guys to attribute us in this thing and not gangsters, I think that's amazing too. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
I think we got a lot over here.
Yeah, we got a lot. We got like almost an hour, so we're good.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.